My message this morning is titled, A Deeper, More Intimate, More Powerful Experience with God. And if you take this message to heart and you apply it, I believe God is going to take you higher and higher. He's going to bless you in ways that you cannot imagine. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank you for being such an amazing God. We thank you, Lord, for the things you have in store for each one of us. Thank you for also giving us a desire for a deeper, more intimate, more powerful experience with you. I pray, O God, that you would speak to us, help us to understand, but help us do more than understand. Help us to apply the message that we hear this morning. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. About a year ago, a little more than a year ago, in October, I got this email from a friend. Hi, Martin and Leanna. I've been thinking about you two for the past few weeks now. I've been meaning to write you, but I've been so busy. I know you go around and preach about praying, and it's so wonderful, but I wanted to ask if you also preach about fasting and praying. A few weeks ago, I walked into my church, and on the bookshelf, I read a book out of curiosity, and afterwards, I was so very inspired. The book is titled Fasting by Jentison Franklin. Jentison Franklin is a Sunday church pastor of a church out in Georgia. This book is not only inspiring, but just amazing. Pastor Franklin and his brother, since they were 18 years old, would fast constantly before they would preach. And God opened up doors all over the world. He fasts each year beginning January 1st through the 21st for 21 days. And he said when you dedicate the new year to God, then God blesses throughout the whole entire year. God was blessing him so much that he started asking his church to fast with him for 21 days from January 1st through the 21st. How popular do you think this kind of a pastor would be? Well, God has blessed him with over 10,000 members. Each year, this is what his church does, and God blesses the church and the members left and right. There were many testimonies from the book how God had blessed them with physical healing, emotional and mental healing, spiritual healing, and even stories about how God has gotten people out of serious debt. There's a story about a single mom with a child who has leukemia. She fasts for 21 days and wrestles with God, and after 21 days, the leukemia is gone. Amazing story after story. Anyways, after I read the book, I was so inspired that I started fasting for 21 days. Today is my 18th day of my Daniel's fast, where you just eat fruits and vegetables. You should really get the book. It's such an eye-opener. My parents were amazed at how God was answering my prayers, and they also started fasting for 21 days. They are a week behind me right now, but God has been pouring his blessings upon our family. And we're not just talking about spiritual and physical blessings, but financial ones too. And we've been praying for relatives who left God, who would never have come back to him. But just 2 days ago, one relative called out of the blue about this very reason. I shared this with a few of my other friends who are all my age. We're talking about young people in their late 20s. They have started fasting and God has been answering their requests, which they had been praying for years. I wanted to share this because I really think in the last days, the only way for God's Holy Spirit to be poured is if our people fast and pray. The two goes hand in hand in order for the blessings to be poured out into our lives. His book makes complete sense. He goes over verse after verse from the Bible why we must fast and pray and give for us to be able to know God's will for our lives. It's been such a blessing. I just wanted to share this because I thought you may be interested in looking into it. Thank you, and so sorry if you already knew about the book. So 2 days later, my wife and I get on the phone with our friend Esther, and we just wanted to ask her all these questions. I mean, if she's having this incredible experience, guess what? I want to know about it. If God is pouring out his spirit, pouring out his blessings, I don't want to be left behind. Amen? Amen. Now, when I got on the phone, I told her about a year earlier, almost a year, 10 months earlier, in December of 2010, God already led me to this book that she was talking about. My wife and I were in Indiana at the South Bend Regional Airport. In December, we needed to catch two flights to go to Seattle for the holidays, where my parents were living at that time. And our flight was delayed by 2 hours. My wife goes to the little bookstore, and she's reading this book on fasting by Jentison Franklin. And I asked her how it was. She says, oh, it's great. So I picked it up and started reading it. But then we had to board our flight, and so I ended up buying that small little book. And on the two flights and the layover in between, I ended up finishing that whole book. And I was just like so amazed by the stories I was reading in that book. And I said, God, I want to fast. Are you calling me to fast? But I said, God, you know the struggle that I have. Okay? My struggle is that if I lose weight, it takes me forever to gain weight. I know you all wish you had that struggle. We all have different struggles, okay? The next morning, I'm having my morning devotions. I'm going through the Amazing Facts Bible reading plan. And the one story that I read out of the Gospels is the one story where Jesus highlights the importance of prayer and fasting, where he says, this kind cannot come out but by prayer and fasting. And I believe God has spoken to me, saying, I want you to begin fasting. So on occasion, I'd fast one day a week, do a water fast. But after getting this email, I just felt like God wanted me to take this to a whole different level. Anyways, when I told Esther that I had already read this book, you know what she said to me? She said, what, you knew? You knew and you didn't tell me? By the way, in the last days, we're going to have people coming up to us, saying that to us, right? What, you knew these things were going to come upon this earth? You knew and you didn't tell me? And so anyways, since that experience, you know, wherever I go, if I have only one opportunity to preach, it will be this message. Because in as little as 3 weeks, I've seen God just turn people's lives upside down if they will take the challenge of doing the Daniel fast. Open with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. In the greatest sermon ever preached, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus actually mentions fasting. Let's begin in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 6. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, if you do a charitable deed, is that what it says? No, it says when you do a charitable deed. Do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. As followers of Christ, we are expected to do charitable deeds. Amen? It's not an option. It's not if you do charitable deeds. Jesus talks about doing charitable deeds, and then he goes on to talk about prayer. And in verse 5, once again, it's not and if you pray, but it's when you pray. You shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Jesus talks about charitable giving. He talks about the importance of praying. And then what does Jesus go on to talk about? Yes, fasting. Let's jump down to verse 16. Moreover, if you fast, wouldn't it be great if Jesus just made it this one optional? If you fast, Jesus says, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Now, when is the last time you've heard a message about the importance of fasting? You know, here in America, we don't really talk much about fasting. I mean, you won't be very popular if you talk about that, because guess what? We like to eat. We love to eat. Amen? Okay. Friends, if there's one thing the devil hates more than prayer, do you know what it is? It's prayer and fasting. We're told in Matthew chapter 4, verse 2, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Jesus begins his ministry by spending 40 days in the wilderness, in prayer and in fasting. In Desire of Ages, we are told by fasting and prayer, he was to brace himself for the bloodstained path he must travel. And friends, I wonder if we need to prepare for the things that are about to come upon this planet by prayer and fasting. I wonder if we need to prepare for the great work that God has for us to do in these last days by prayer and fasting. Did you know that the Apostle Paul was big into fasting? He talks about his sufferings and what he's experienced. in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 27 and 28, he says, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things which comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Now the early church, following Christ's example, put great emphasis upon fasting. Church historians tell us that the Christians in the early churches, for the first 400 years, would fast often, would fast twice a week. Now, I haven't found that in Scripture or in the Spirit of Prophecy, but we know that the Pharisees did fast often. Is that correct? In the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, Jesus says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. John Wesley, great man of God, a man who spent a minimum of 2 hours a day on his knees in prayer. John Wesley says, God does nothing except in response to believing prayer. God used this man mightily. And he preached a lot of sermons on prayer and also preached a lot of sermons on fasting. And he has said, the man who never fasts is no more in the way to heaven than the man who never prays. Wow. Is fasting important? Friends, John Wesley, John Knox, John Calvin, Martin Luther, these great reformers, these great men of God, in their spiritual warfare to restore purity to the church, they were all big into prayer and fasting. Martin Luther not only maintained the spiritual discipline of fasting one day a week, in addition to his 3 hours of prayer every day, but he fasted so much that he was criticized for fasting. But God worked through Martin Luther to impact the world through his prayers, his fasting, and his holy boldness. So, Esther begins this 21-day Daniel fast, and she invited some of her friends to join her. I want to share with you another testimony. She invited her friend Cindy to join her on this fast with her husband. Cindy was a lukewarm Adventist. She was what I would call a Sadventist. Do you know what I mean by a Sadventist? Do you know of Sadventists? Let me help you understand what I mean by a Sadventist. She has no problem if her husband watches 3ABN on the Sabbath. But if he watches 3ABN during the weekdays, she starts to harass him. Why are you watching 3ABN? It's not even the Sabbath. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is her testimony. We started this 21-day fasting because we were inspired by our friend Esther's testimony, and it's been an eye-opening experience. We were surprised to see how so many prophets in the Bible fasted and prayed, and we realized that fasting should be a part of our Christian experience. So this is our 10th day, and God has been with us through this experience. When we first started fasting, we thought it might be too difficult, but when we saw God answer our prayers and how close we got to God, we said we don't want to give up on this experience. When Esther encouraged me to start on fasting, I was really inspired and excited about it. But then I suddenly thought of some people that I actually hated. Are there some people you actually hate? And I thought, do I have to fast for those people too? This is so bad, but I didn't know what a sinner I was till this experience. I'd always tried to forgive those people who hurt me so terribly, but I was never successful. On the third night of the fast, I realized how bad my sin was of not being able to forgive them, that I cried during my time of prayer. The next morning, I realized God had put forgiveness in my heart for these people. Isn't this amazing? On day two, as we were worried about my husband's dental practice, which was quite slow, the Lord worked a miracle and provided. On day three, the Lord worked another miracle to help us out financially. On day five, we received the first offer on our house in Ohio, which we had been wanting to sell for more than 1 year. Put it on the market. No one's interested. No offer. The first offer comes in. And right now we're in the process of doing the paperwork to sell the house. This fasting is amazing. It totally makes you get closer to God and overcome the distractions in your life. I always thought that 3ABN was so boring. But ever since fasting, when I'm at home, I love watching 3ABN. I don't even wonder anymore about what's going on in this world, in Hollywood or on TV. Fasting has also changed our taste buds. For the first couple of days, I made vegetable soup, and it was so yucky that I thought this fasting experience was going to be horrible. Now we are so used to it that when I eat salad without dressing or veggie soup, I feel a little guilty because it tastes so good. Because she's thinking everything's supposed to taste really bad and bland. I hope everything's going well for your family and ASAP. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. Jesus has just come down from the Mount of Transfiguration with three of his disciples. And that's where we pick up the story. Verse 14. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. Can you imagine the heart of this parent who desperately wants healing for his son? So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Isn't that sad? I brought him to your disciples. I expected something from your disciples, but they could not cure him. In Desire of Ages, we're told that the disciples commanded the torturing spirit to leave, and the demons mocked them with a fresh display of power. Can you imagine how embarrassing that must have been? And we're told in Desire of Ages that the disciples could not account for their defeat, and they felt like they were bringing shame and dishonor upon their master and upon themselves. And friends, are there times where we bring shame upon our master? Because we can't practice what we preach. We can't walk the talk. Let's go on. Verse 17, then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Verse 19, then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. Now, I shared a couple of mornings ago that we're told in the spirit of prophecy that unbelief is our greatest sin. Some of you who were there for that remember that. And unbelief is such a great sin because we make God out to be a liar through our unbelief. But I've asked the question, I'm sure the disciples have had success with casting out demons in the past. Why did they fail in this situation? Because I think it's in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. We're told that Jesus gave them power over unclean spirits. And this father probably came to the disciples knowing that they could do something for his son. Why did they fail in this situation? Well, in Desire of Ages, we're told that when Jesus told the disciples, that he was going to die soon, it really brought sadness to their hearts. And when Jesus only took three of his disciples up to the Mount of Transfiguration, it created jealousy in the hearts of the others. So these disciples were discouraged and they were focusing on their personal grievances when they entered into this conflict with the enemy. That's why they were unsuccessful in the situation. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Amen? And Jesus ends by saying, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Friends, we need to pray. We need to pray for our loved ones. We need to pray for the work of God. But there are times where we will pray, and it's not enough. And at those times, we need to pray and fast. Amen? Friends, are you struggling with an addiction? You're struggling with something that you know does not bring glory and honor to God. And you've tried to overcome. You've tried to get overcome this bad habit, but you haven't had any success. And you've prayed and you've prayed. Friends, I believe it's time for you to pray and fast. If God has laid upon your heart to do a special work for him in the church, and the funds aren't available, and you feel like you're making no progress at all in the work, I believe it's time to pray and fast. If you have loved ones that you have been praying for years, and you see them going further and further out into the world, and you cannot see that God is at work in that person's life, I believe it is time to pray and fast. Ian Bounds, I've quoted from him before. He's written so much on the subject of prayer. He pretty much touches every aspect of prayer. He's written many, many books. And he says, prayer and fasting always accomplish something. Now, please don't misunderstand. It's not always going to accomplish what you want. But it will always accomplish something in line with God's will. Amen? Susan Yoon goes to this Asian American church near Chicago in one of the suburbs. And I went and shared there over a year ago in December. And of course, I shared this message that I'm sharing with you today. And a few months later, she shared with me this, she sent this testimony via email. Our church has been praying for years on Tuesday nights and Sabbath mornings before Sabbath school for the Holy Spirit. So please understand, this is a praying church. But it wasn't until your fasting sermon at our church that made individuals privately fast. These days, we've been having testimony after testimonies of miracles due to fasting and prayer. Something is happening at our church. The Holy Spirit is moving. I've had a few people fasting the first 3 days of each month. We've had the most unlikeliest of person, previously an atheist, receive the Holy Spirit and join our church, and now is doing mighty things in our church within a month. I prayed for this lost person during my fast. What amazes me is that God will still use a sinner like me to bring other sinners to Christ, and that person is keeping me on my toes. Fasting has become the buzzword. Is that amazing? Fasting has become the buzzword in our church, and the powerful testimonies of those who fast is spreading the desire to those who would never try otherwise. I read the fasting book 2 years ago and was greatly blessed, but was too shy to tell my church about it. So you don't know how excited I was when you came and mentioned it. So anyways, yesterday, were you blessed by Brother Emmanuel Beck's message and his personal testimony? That first year as an intern evangelist was very, very difficult for that brother. Amen? Friends, I'm going through my first year as an intern evangelist with Amazing Facts. Now, what I understand is I know about the power of prayer and fasting. And after getting testimonies like this, when I did my first meeting stateside at the Southside Adventist Church, which is in one of the suburbs of Seattle, Washington, we did a revival weekend at the church 1 week before we started the prophecy seminar. And I shared about this message. And my wife and I, we just prayed that God would impress the church leaders and many of the members to do this Daniel fast while we're going through the prophecy seminar. And we were just so blessed that many of the members and leaders said, hey, let's do this. Now, please understand that when you're preparing for your first prophecy seminar without a translator, it is a daunting task. I had 23 presentations. I had to prepare my PowerPoint slides. I had to get all my notes. And the way it worked out, I had just enough time to get all the slides and my notes ready, but I didn't have adequate time to go through all my notes and to know the material very, very well. So anyways, we began the meetings in October. And the first two presentations were okay because I was able to spend enough time going through and getting acquainted with the material. But from the third message on, I was glued to my notes. And this was a very painful experience for my wife, who had to watch me from the back. My wife, she just wanted to go into a little mouse hole and she wanted to hide. And I wanted to follow her and go hide. But after a week, as we saw the Spirit of God moving upon the hearts of the people, as we heard the responses coming, we knew that God was working for us and God was working in spite of us. And we changed the way we prayed. We said, God, if you can do a greater work through Martin's weakness by him being glued to his notes, so be it. Friends, we ended up baptizing 13 individuals. And we're talking about a little church with about 60, 70 members. It was what God did for us. It was amazing. I want to share with you one testimony that one of our church members sent to me. Hello, Brother Martin. I just wanted to share with you what a blessing the recent prophecy seminars have been to me personally. I was baptized in 1996 and have gone through many, many prophecy seminars with a range of speakers as an SDA member since then. I'm convinced after this series of meetings that it doesn't matter who is up front as long as the Holy Spirit is speaking through him to hearts. Okay. Friends, please understand, one day God is going to use all of you to go out to proclaim the third angel's message. And the most important thing is not whether you have talent, whether you are eloquent. The most important thing is whether you have the Holy Spirit. I have not seen the Holy Spirit move in such a powerful way in a prophecy seminar before. More, the harvest of attendees and baptisms was a clear testimony that God was abiding with us through the meetings and speaking through the messages. I believe these blessings were in part, if not all, due to the Lord graciously answering our prayers from the time of fasting and prayer. What a blessing the meetings were. I attended every night and am sad that the meetings have ended. I look forward to the next time we hold meetings and hope that we can begin again with fasting and prayer. I'm convinced there is no other way to really see the outpouring of blessings and power in these meetings than by starting with fasting and prayer. So a couple of months ago in December, I was down in Sacramento for the Amazing Facts Workers Meeting, and our evangelism director, John Ross, Pastor John Ross, asked me if I would preach at his church on Sabbath. What am I going to preach about? Of course, I'm going to talk about prayer and fasting, this same message. And I said to the members, you know, we're just 16 days away from the new year. What if this church, if all the members did a Daniel fast? And they all decided to start the new year off with a Daniel fast. I just heard from a person on our army team who lives not too far away from where that church is. She's saying that God has been working in amazing ways in the lives of the church members as they participated in this. This morning, as I was walking here this morning, you know, I passed by some people from Oklahoma Academy. And this is just an idea. It's up to you what you do with the idea. But I'm thinking, man, God could just bless your school with such a mighty revival. Okay? What if you guys got all together and you said, hey, let's do this as a school for 21 days? Okay? Because you know, after, as I mentioned before, after a powerful experience like this, when you go back home, the devil is going to work so hard to drag people down. And we need something more than just prayer, so that we can go higher and higher. Think about it. Do more than think about it. Pray about it. Evan Roberts was a leading figure in the 1904-1905 Welsh Revival. The press at the time called it the most remarkable. In less than 5 months, 500,000 people became Christians. In Wales, one of every 10 citizens was converted. It was a mighty revival. And Evan Roberts, he would say, my mission is first to the churches. When the churches are roused to their duty, men of the world will be swept into a kingdom. A whole church on its knees is irresistible. You know, when I visit a church, this is what I like to say. My first mission is not to save souls. My first mission is not to call people out of Babylon. My first mission is to get the remnant praying. When the churches are aroused to their duty, men of the world will be swept into the kingdom. A whole church on its knees, praying and fasting, is irresistible. Andrew Bonar was a minister in the 19th century, the Free Church of Scotland, I believe it was. He says, fasting is abstaining from anything that hinders prayer. So please understand that fasting is not just abstaining simply from food. It's abstaining from all those things that hinder prayer. Okay? Television. Radio. Video games. Okay? And you want to spend more time in God's Word and in prayer. Friends, if you're just abstaining from food, it amounts to nothing more than dieting or starving. Okay? Fasting is abstaining from anything that hinders prayer. Philip Brooks goes on to say, fasting is abstaining from anything innocent in itself in order to grow more spiritually or serve God more effectively. Wow. Friends, are there a lot of innocent things, innocent activities that just eat up all of our time? I mean, Facebook is not a bad thing, right? I mean, it's a good way for us to share the gospel. Okay. But friends, are there people addicted to Facebook? There are people that spend hours on Facebook. I have friends that have closed down their Facebook account because they knew it was not helping them in their relationship with God. What about golf? It's a nice way to spend your Sunday, get some sunshine, get a little exercise. But friends, golf can really eat up all your time. Is that correct? Susan Yoon, the gal whose testimony I shared just a little bit ago, she says that she believes the devil created golf. Her husband would spend all his time out on the golf course, and she wanted to spend time with him, so she would go join him. And now it's keeping them away from their children. You know, someone told me that GOLF is an acronym for Gentlemen Only, Ladies Forbidden. I did look it up. It's just an urban legend. But what is the devil in the business of doing? He's in the business of separating people, creating division. What are the innocent activities that you could possibly abstain from? Maybe you could give up on a little sleep in the morning so you can begin the day in God's presence. Wesley Jewell has written a book called Mighty Prevailing Prayer, an excellent book. It's an encyclopedia on prayer. If I can only keep one book in my library on the subject of prayer, it would be his book, Mighty Prevailing Prayer. And in this book, he writes, fasting is a God-ordained form of self-denial. Is self-denial a blessing? Self-denial is a blessing, friends. Only as we deny self can Christ live his life through us. Let me tell you why I think this fasting experience is just so powerful. Okay? From my limited experience and from what I've read, okay? This is the conclusion I've come to. The reason this is so powerful is because within each one of us, there is the carnal nature and there is the spiritual man. Okay? And there will be a struggle between the two until the day Jesus comes and we're given new bodies and we are glorified. Okay? Every morning when we wake up, the carnal man begins to scream, saying, give me the things of the world. Turn on the television. Turn on the music. The carnal man is screaming. And then there's the spiritual man. The spiritual man is, give me God's word. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. And friends, it would be great if we could just put that carnal man to sleep once and for all. But we can't. The only way you're going to allow the spiritual man to gain the victory in your life is by starving the carnal man. And when you go on a fast, you will starve that carnal man like you have never starved him before. And you start feeding that spiritual man. You start praying. You start spending time in God's word. And that spiritual man begins to grow and becomes a giant. And is able to pin that carnal man under his arms. Does that make sense? Which is why you're able to experience so many spiritual victories. Hope that helps you understand why this is so powerful. He says in his book, the purpose of fasting is to subject the physical to the spiritual and to give priority to spiritual goals. It is to disentangle oneself for a time from one's environment, material things, daily responsibilities, and cares. It is to devote one's whole spiritual attention to God and prayer. Just want to briefly mention the different types of fasts mentioned in the Bible. There's the absolute fast, where you don't drink any food, any water. Paul did this after he was blinded, after the Damascus Road experience. Esther called the Jews to do this for 3 days, when they thought that their lives were at stake. This is not recommended, okay, unless you feel strongly directed by God to do this. Okay. And if you do this, you probably don't want to do it for more than 3 days. Then there is a normal fast, where you just drink water. And I believe Jesus did a normal fast for 40 days when he was in the wilderness. There's the liquid fast. This is where you just drink juices. If you want to do the liquid fast, you want to get the best kind of juice possible. You don't want stuff with added sugar, preservatives, and all that other stuff. You just want juice in its purest form. And then there is the partial fast. And the Daniel fast is a biblically based partial fast, where you're just simply reducing your diet to fruits and vegetables and water. And this is based off of Daniel chapter 10, where Daniel, grieved over the plight of his people, begins to pray and fast. It says in verse 2, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, probably meaning he ate no bread and nothing sweet. No meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now, I want to mention something to you, because a lot of people hear about this Daniel fast. They go to the internet, they go to a search engine, they punch in Daniel fast, and they find this terrible website. It's absolutely horrible. Danielfast.wordpress.com, Daniel fast food list. Okay. And I'll show you what the food list looks like. Okay? Foods to include in your diet during the Daniel fast. All the different types of fruits, all the vegetables, all whole grains, all nuts and seeds, all legumes, all quality oils, including but not limited to olive, canola, grape seeds, peanuts, sesame. What types of beverages and other stuff such as tofu, soy products, vinegar, huh? Seasonings, salt, herbs, and spices. And then there's a foods to avoid on the Daniel fast list. All meats, products, etc., etc. Okay. I came across this and I said, this is a horrible. This is horrible. Why do you think it's horrible? Well, first of all, if you were to follow this list, it's just a little better than a vegan diet. Okay. And most of you probably are vegans. Okay. And if you were to go by this list, you know what? You got to go out and shop. You got to look at this list when you're preparing your foods. And then it's also tempting to want to add more to your diet than simply fruits and vegetables. Is that correct? And it's so time-consuming to prepare meals using this list. And so it really defeats the purpose of doing a Daniel's fast. Does that make sense? You want to simplify everything. The amount of time it takes for food preparation, you want to simplify it. Friends, I can't wait till the day that God blesses me with an extra 20, 30 pounds so I could do a water fast or a juice fast. Amen. You want an even more powerful, more incredible experience? You want to sense God's presence in an amazing way? I've only heard about it. Okay? But when you hit like day 14 on a juice fast or water fast, your mind becomes like so clear. You enter this different state where you just sense God's presence so much more. I can't afford to do it. Okay? But what I'm telling you is, friends, the purpose of the fasting is to really just simplify. Okay? It's not how much you can add to your diet. It's how much you can take away from your diet. In my case, I was advised by a physician to add nuts simply because it helps me not to lose so much weight. Hey, it's between you and God. But you want the greatest blessing? The more self-denial, the greater the blessing. Amen? Amen? And friends, nobody enjoys... I mean, there are tremendous spiritual blessings, and that's why we fast. But no one enjoys going without food. Amen? But you know why we do it? Esther, a few months ago in the fall, she did this Daniel fast for 100 days. And she's seen God do amazing things in her life and her family's life. Do you know why we pray and fast? Because we are desperate. We want to see God working in a more powerful way in our lives and through our lives to bless others. Amen? I want to end with two more testimonies. Twyla Seaton was another friend that also joined Esther, the Daniel fast. She says, I can tell you that this time of prayer and fasting has taken my relationship with God to an entirely new level. And that's what we all want. Amen? When all the distractions of work, email, internet, Facebook activities, etc. are all taken away and it's just me and the Lord, that is when He can really speak and I can hear. I actually loathe to see this time come to a close. Because that experience of communing with God, of walking with God, it was so sweet. Physically, during the fast, it was so difficult. There were so many times that I was planning Thanksgiving dinner in my head. Ha ha. Or looking at cookbooks even though I couldn't eat any of the things that I was looking at. But God gave me the amazing power to get through it, and God could give all of you the amazing power to get through it. I lost 10 pounds during the 3 weeks, and I fit into clothes that I could only imagine fitting into before. I have also noticed that even though I broke the fast, I still prefer the fruits and veggies. The self-control that I lacked before concerning appetite now is richly abundant. I can easily walk away from foods that before I could not resist. Praise God. Friends, I guarantee it. You will lose a minimum of 10 pounds. If you do this Daniel fast for 21 days. How's that for an incentive? Friends, we have everything to gain. Nothing to lose but pounds. Ellen White says, you know, the controlling power of appetite will prove the ruin of thousands who, if they had conquered on this point, would have had the moral power to gain the victory over every other temptation. But those who are slaves to appetite will fail of perfecting Christian character. Do you struggle with appetite? So many in the Adventist church struggle with appetite. What can we do if we struggle with appetite? I believe the answer is prayer and fasting. The continual transgression of man for over 6,000 years has brought sickness, pain, and death as its fruit. And as we draw near the close of time, Satan's temptations to indulge appetite will be more powerful and more difficult to resist. She goes on to say, even resisting certain temptations that were not food related before was so difficult, but now God has given me victory over them. Praise God again. Research has shown me that after 3 weeks, habits are formed. God has proven that to me during this time. Which is why I highly recommend the 3-week Daniel fast. It's a good period of time where new habits can be formed. Now, my wife and I, after our initial conversation with Esther on the phone, we decided we're going to do this because we were so desperate to experience God in a more powerful way. Now, I knew that the following week I was going over to Hawaii for Army Bible Camp. This was in 2011 in the winter. And I knew that at our Army Bible Camp or in our time in Hawaii, there was going to be a lot of good food. But I said, I need to start this. Well, I eventually went over to Hawaii. And on Sunday, for the first few days before camp began on Wednesday, we had camp prep. And the food is really, really good during camp prep. And on Sunday, oh, the dinner looked so good. But by the grace of God, I was able to resist. But when morning came around, I was so tempted. The food looked so good. I don't know why I was hanging out in the cafeteria. We had a late lunch because we only had 2 meals that day. And they had these pineapple slices and these Sham burgers. You know what Sham burgers are, right? Veggie burgers. And it looked mouth-watering. And I said, you know, I don't know if this was a good idea that I started to do this Daniel fast before the Army Bible Camp or the week before. Decided to call my wife because she was doing it with me. She was my accountability partner. Now, she wasn't answering her phone because she had already gone to sleep. Because she was 6 hours ahead of us. Because she was in Michigan. I said, I need to talk to somebody. I need to get some advice. Some godly counsel. What do I do in this situation? So I met with this one individual who I knew was a praying individual who understood something about fasting. We got together, we prayed, and I told her about my problem. And I thought she was going to be sympathetic. I thought she would understand and she would say something like, you know, God understands. You didn't plan this very carefully. But the first thing she said is, if you're too tempted by being in the cafeteria, don't go to the cafeteria. I will bring you the fruits and vegetables. You tell me what you want. I'll bring it to you. You eat outside. She secondly said, if you quit now and you start over later, don't think it's going to be easier later. Very good point. And thirdly, she says, if you give up now and you know that the enemy is going to harass you for not following through with this, it's just better to stick with it. So she went in. She let me know what they had, and she brought out some food for me. So I went out, sat on a bench. It was the ocean in front of me, and it was just me and God. And my rabbit food. Anyways, after that evening, the next morning, I was able to go into the cafeteria for the rest of the week. I was not tempted by the food whatsoever. And the Lord blessed my wife and I in so many ways. The healing that we experienced. And just many doors God opened for us. Just amazing. Within a 4-month period, at the start of the new year in January, my wife, she did the Daniel fast again. Esther and a bunch of her friends, they did it again. We're talking about doing this 21-day Daniel fast twice in a 4-month period. Because that's how powerful and amazing the experience was. I want to end with Esther's testimony. After that initial phone call, I emailed her and said, could you write for me in an email all the blessings you experienced? Because I could not recall everything she had shared over the phone. And she sent me an email with 16 different points. I'm not going to share all 16, but most of them. Through fasting, God has been leading me and day by day showing me so many things. Number one, who I need to forgive, the people I had not even known I was supposed to forgive. Number two, who I need to ask forgiveness from. I had not even known that I had hurt them, but God brought it to my view that it hurt them tremendously. Number three, what my sins and flaws are. Do we need this kind of an experience, friends? Friends, in the book, The Great Controversy, in the chapter about the time of trouble, we are told that we need the kind of experience Jacob had. Number four, the sins I had considered not a big deal. God has been showing me just how big they really are. She's starting to see things from God's perspective. Number five, how God is so compassionate with me. He never condemns me even though I keep falling and falling. And I don't know about you, but this is not the kind of God I grew up knowing about. A compassionate God who is there for you to pick you up each time you fall. Number 9, God has shown me how to see the good in everyone and not the bad. Before it used to be the other way. I'd focus on people's weaknesses and mistakes and never really saw the good in them. Number 12, my prayers have gotten so long, so heartfelt, and my interested prayers have become so genuine. My prayers are so long now that if I don't set my alarm, I might be late for work, so now I pray with an alarm. Wow. How would you like to have that problem? Friends, you can break the 5-minute barrier when you go home. By the way, I want you to understand something. When you're here at this camp, guess what? You want to pray. And I shared this on the first morning during the devotional time. It's really easy to want to pray. But when you go home, it's not going to be as easy. You know why? It's easy here because the Spirit of God is falling here. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of prayer. Okay? But when you're home alone, all by yourself, and you don't have people to come together to unite in prayer with, you may not want to feel like praying. Does that make sense? But I believe if you will do this Daniel fast, God will bless your experience. And I love this point. I so desperately, so longingly just want Jesus. I just want to be Christ-like. I might have started with my fast with some earthly prayer requests, along with wanting to know Jesus and the truth. But as I continued in my fast day by day, my earthly requests don't seem to matter anymore, and it just kind of fades in the background. Friends, usually we go to God when we're in trouble. And we really don't want God. You know what we want? We want what's in His hands. We want the gift. Okay? But if we go to God simply because we want the gift, God is still so pleased. He'll take you any way He can take you. He can get you. Amen? Okay. And Esther, she was motivated to do this fast because she needed some prayers to go through to heaven. But she started this fast and she discovered something better than the gift. And what was that? She discovered the giver. I see such loveliness and beauty in the character of Jesus, and I just want to be like Him. If God blesses me with answers to prayers and takes care of my needs, He is just extra good and merciful to me, and I am grateful. But what matters most to me is just Jesus and me. Matthew chapter 9, verse 14 and 15. It says, then the disciples of John came to Him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. There's a time coming after I ascend to heaven and until I return again. During that time, my followers, my disciples, they will fast. Friends, if there was ever a generation that needed to get serious about prayer and fasting, I believe it's this generation. If there was ever a generation that needed a deeper, more powerful, more intimate experience with God, I believe it is this generation, as we see the signs everywhere telling of Christ's soon return. Is it your desire, friends, to have a deeper, more intimate, more powerful experience with God? Let's pray. Dear God, we thank You for being such a good God. A God who is just longing to pour out Your Spirit and bless Your people. Thank You for putting within our hearts a longing, a thirsting, a hungering for a deeper, more intimate, more powerful experience with You. I just pray that You bless each one of us. Lord, it's not a question of if I should fast, but a question of when I should start and what type of fast I should do. Please show each one of us, Lord. And please give us the desires of our hearts, which is to know You, as it is our privilege to know You. Thank You so much for hearing and answering this prayer. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's Word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.